Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Joss Ogonie, Will Blue Otter, a seventh great grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
And we have a special guest this hour. It's Friday. Hey, it's time to take a break from the... Take a break from the hard news and do some stuff in a little different vein. We love to do this once in a while. Always have to give a disclaimer. Now, I'm not saying just because I have somebody on the air that I totally buy into everything that they say, just like I'm sure that they wouldn't buy into everything I say, but we think it's interesting anyway. And so we like to get a lot of different people on with a lot of different ideas and stuff on. We had some really good comments on the fellow we had on last week about the hollow earth theory. Yeah, people said that was just fascinating. They just really enjoyed that. Well, hopefully we are going to have another good time today. We have with us a gentleman right now by the name of Blue Otter. Now, we have a congressman in our state, Butch Otter. Are you related to him?
Not unless he's a Cherokee or...
That's your Indian name, right?
Yeah, that's my. It's actually a translation of Chasa, which means blue otter.
Okay, Chasa. Okay.
My Anglo name is Will Anderson.
Okay, and that's your Christian name?
Right.
All right, well, we'll call you Will then for the sake of this discussion. And if you
actually, my Christian name is Scott. My it's given name, Christian name, and surname. The middle name is Christian name, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, Scott, William Scott, Scott William, whatever. All right, here we go. Now, you have a website, and tell us about this website. What's the name of it?
Well, Prophecy Keepers, PROPHECYKEEPERS.com, is a nonprofit public foundation of the National Heritage Foundation. We are a clearinghouse for prophecy from all over the world, whether it's biblical prophecy, Hopi prophecy, Nostradamus, Mayan, Hopi, tribal, the Quran. They all are basically saying the same thing about what's going on right now, especially now in view that we have tsunamis involved.
Okay. And this is a really interesting subject to me. I first got interested in this because I had a very dear friend who, by the way, just passed away a few months ago, Lance Richardson. I don't know if you've ever met him, but he did much the same thing, and he collected prophecies, particularly American Indian prophecies and Tibetan prophecies and a whole bunch of things, and he put out a series of books and tapes on it, which was really interesting, and he kind of got me interested in it. And so it is something that we have carried on the Radioactive program. It's kind of a break from our normal political talk once in a while, and I think it's a very interesting thing. Now, in you actually yourself have had some prophetic dreams as well, right?
Yes, so you knew Lance Richardson, huh?
You know Lance?
Well, Sterling Allen's a longtime friend of me, of mine.
Sterling Allen on the show just like 3 days ago.
Right, yeah, Sterling and I know each other for many, many years, and I know about Lance through Sterling's website.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Lance was a good friend of mine. We're both Idaho boys in the broadcast business, so, you know, we've known each other for many, many years, very close friends. Or we were, but he's, like I say, just passed on last year. It was kind of a tragedy.
I think I missed your question, though. What was it again?
You yourself have actually had prophecies as well, right? Prophetic dreams?
Back in 1982, one morning I woke up, and a voice simply told me that an attempt was going to be made on the life of my wife, Joanne Mary Anderson, during the Dark of the Moon. And we looked for an immediate fulfillment of that. It was the first thing anything like that had ever happened to me. But about 2 weeks after that, I noticed that she was showing signs of problems with her breast. She lost the breast immediately, lost another breast. And 13 years later, she passed away on the 29th of April of 95. And about 10 days after she passed away, I was in my future mother-in-law's home and with my future wife, and I said, I remember this dream I had. Let's check the calendar. So Betty went over and checked the calendar. Sure enough, Joanne had passed away right in the middle of a three-day Dark of the Moon period. So in 1982, Creator started to get me used to listening to things and showing me that he could predict things. And in 1998, in March, I was in Logan in the graduate school at USU, and in Logan, Utah. And this voice
that's where I was born, man.
Was that right?
I was born in Logan.
And that's a nice town. Anyway, the voice just said that the year 2005 would be known in the future as the year of the great havoc, because the weather would become so bad that it would cause possibly many of the computers in the world to shut down. And then the voice raised from a normal speaking voice to a yelling voice and says, "Wake up and write that down." So I had a Native Prophecy website on the internet since 96, so it's been on my website. The prediction's been on the website ever since.
All right. Now, have you been to Logan recently?
No, I have. I haven't been back to Logan for, it's 10 years.
All right. Well, you should have been. You should be there right now because there are some horrible things happening with the weather in Logan right now. Most all of my family's from that area. Like I say, I was born down there. And just talking with my uncles and cousins just 3 or 4 days ago, and they have had some of the biggest snowfall that they have ever had, that they've ever recorded in that area. Buildings all throughout the valley you know, even these great big steel buildings are collapsing under the weight of the snow.
Oh, that's good to know. My storage is in Hyde Park in a metal storage building.
Ah, Hyde Park.
Well, you know, Bishop Coyle.
My great grandfather's founded Hyde Park.
Bishop Coyle, the largest movement of people in the LDS Church, other than the church itself, was the Dream Mine, or the Relief Mine.
Uh-huh.
And Bishop Coyle predicted during this period of time that there would be weather signs that would lead up to the collapse of the United States government. And the one everybody's holding their breath waiting for is for there to be a hard winter in the entire country, followed by a waterlogged spring. Well, naturally, if you have a lot of snow up in the mountains, you're going to be waterlogged.
Sure.
And he says followed by a long hot summer, and then he says when the wheat was in the boot or in the dough, in other words, you know, along about August and September, that the relief mine would come in. And if those people that are LDS out there, you're familiar with the teachings about the three Nephite apostles that are talked about in the Book of Mormon. And oddly enough, there are also three messengers that came to Handsome Lake, who was the Seneca prophet, who in 1801 became the founder of the current Six Nations Iroquois religion, known as the Good News religion. And they said that they reported to another person who is in Creator's land, giving a report during their first visit to Handsome Lake when he was in a coma for 4 years. Later on, the Handsome Lake met the fourth person. But this is identical to the Mormon teaching that there are three apostles out there that are immortals.
Actually, four.
Yeah, that report to John the Revelator, who is the fourth.
Are you LDS?
And then you've got... Yes, I am on the roll.
Oh, see, I didn't even know this. This was kind of a weird thing.
I've got problems. You know, the church in 1984, President Benson said the church was under condemnation, and this is the first time since about the 1830s or 40s that this had even been mentioned in the church. But you know, Joseph was told to stay away from Freemasonry, or actually, he was told to stay away from men who were Freemasons. And he was told that if he didn't do that, that the church would go into condemnation. And he apparently refused to, and he was told that he would fall. And apparently he refused to stop listening to certain men. And so, you know, we have problems with Freemasonry mixed up with, it's actually an anti-Book of Mormon teaching. Mixing Freemasonry with Book of Mormon is like mixing oil with water, literally.
Well, that's true. You know, the whole secret society thing. Okay. Well, let's talk about some of these prophecies then. Now, you are a clearinghouse for many different many multicultural prophecies, and this is again something that I have studied for a long, long time. It's been a hobby of mine for at least the last 10 years, and I've put on many shows about it. We've talked about Nostradamus and some of the other old world prophets and new world
mm-hmm.
prophets and things of this nature, and I've noticed that there are certain consistencies with these prophecies, no matter where they are, and one of them is the weather prophecies. Now, again, I also have told people on this program before that it's easy to be a prophet because if you're general enough about it. You know, you can make it seem like anything could come. It's only when prophets get into making specific prophecies that they get into trouble. But weather is one of those general things. We live in a small farming community here. One of the things that I hear over and over again, I go to church on Sunday, we talk to the old farmers, you know, and they say, "I've never seen a winter like this. This is the worst winter I've ever seen. I've been around here for 75 years, and I've never seen nothing worse than this." And then summer will come along. "This is the hottest summer I've ever seen." And they've been doing this for every year, you know. And every year, I know every year is not worse than the year before. But, you know, I think people have a tendency to put a lot of credence into weather. So let's talk about some of the weather prophecies. In some of the prophecies that you have, are there a lot of references to weather?
Well, let me give you a little bit of rundown. It's not just me. I mean, I was surprised to see the prophecy that I was given come true. And I, early last year, I began to say to myself, you know, the real New Year, the Jewish New Year, the Cherokee New Year is in September. So I began to wonder whether the 2005 would prophecy would start in September. I wasn't disappointed because it started with the four hurricanes that we had in Florida last September. The interesting thing is earlier last year we started having and the year before that started having a lot of coronal mass ejection problems with the sun. There were actually satellites that were burned up because of this. And earlier, I think about spring last year, spring or summer, in the spring of last year, I began to wonder if the sun wasn't going to come into this equation. And within 3 months, it was announced that sun forecasting would become part of all weather data that was given downstream for people to use for local weather forecasting. So anyway, last year the independent newspaper in Great Britain.
Okay, hang on just a second. Will, we got to take a break. We're going to continue talking with Blue Otter, Will Anderson, and he's going to be telling us about some of the weird weather and if that portends a coming of the last days coming up.
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
OCO is Cherokee for hello. This is Chia Sagonige, also known as Will Bluewater. I'm the International Communications Director for the Cherokee Nation of Mexico. I'm speaking on behalf of the Seven Clans and beloved woman Sharon Rogers, wife of Chief Priest and Principal Chief Charles L. Yatlohi Rogers, M.D., oncologist. Their family discovered the tomb in Mexico of Sequoia, the world-famous inventor of the Cherokee alphabet, and the namesake of the Cherokee National Forest in California. The state of Oklahoma was very nearly named the state of Sequoia. Nación Cherokee de México, the Cherokee Nation of Mexico, is known in the United States as the Cherokee Nation of Sequoia of Mexico, Texas, and the USA Reservation and Church. Free of any charge, we are accepting citizenship and adoption applications not only from Cherokee descendants, but from all people of good heart, from all lineages, just as we did for the 10,000 plus years before the United States government fairly recently imposed restrictions on Cherokee citizenship. Tennessee Governor Sam Houston had not one drop of Cherokee blood, yet he left office and later became Kalanu, or Speaker of Council, second only to Chief John Jolly of the Cherokee Nation West. The Republic of Mexico has recognized the Cherokee four times since the 1700s, and Spain five times before that. We possess original physical copies of all those treaties. In January of 2001, the San Andres Accords, enabling government-to-government tripartite relationships between sovereign Indian nations and the government of Mexico, were passed by the Mexican Congress. A few weeks later, the first such sovereign Indian nation, Nación Cherokee de México, was federally recognized in a solemn ceremony in Torreón, the capital of the state of Coahuila, formerly known as the province of Coahuila in Texas. The ceremony was followed by a fabulous celebration, which was attended by Cherokee elders from all over the Americas, including citizens of the federally recognized Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, people like Squaw Yee, the famed bowmaker, Al Heron. There is so much more to share with you, so I encourage you to visit our website at CherokeeDiscovery.com. While you are visiting the website, feel free to fill out a free citizenship application. Please be patient, though. We have no paid staff, and applications may take up to 9 months or more to get processed. If you're not a Cherokee, feel free to request adoption. And please don't forget, tell them Blue Water sent you. Ski. Wado.
Radioactive continuing again with our special guest, Will Anderson, or Blue Otter, Chesa, I believe is the Indian name there. And he is talking to us about his website, prophecykeepers.com, where he has assembled prophecies from all different kinds of cultures and religions, many of them pertaining to things in our era. You know, one of the things, before we get back into the weather stuff a little bit, one of the things I've noticed is that if you look at a lot of these multicultural prophecies, I don't know if you've ever read Mother Shipton's prophecies, but they're absolutely fascinating. But if you look at a bunch of these things, you notice that they start talking about a lot of things that we can see in our time. References to flight, references to battleships or submarines, references to automobiles, telephones. You know, a few of these things are common in some of these older prophecies, but you never hear anything beyond that. Does that mean that we may be living in what are euphemistically termed the last days?
Well, rather than speculate, personally, I believe that. I mean, the signs are here, but let's talk a little bit about maybe about what scientists are looking at. I mean, this is what people. This is the way that Coast to Coast AM has been going away from the spiritual and toward hard science. So we have great problems with weather. I don't know if you know what's going on right now in Europe, but it's just chaos over there. Dead zones are being found in the world's oceans. The Pentagon is studying climate collapse. Reuters News recently had a headline that they feared that the Earth was undergoing a mass species wipeout. And bear in mind that volcanism, which is on the rise, always precedes and is associated with ice ages, which the Hopi prophecy indicates would be the case, as did the Book of Mormon, talking about, or at least Mormon theology, which talks about the coming back of the lost 10 tribes from the north. The United Nations is warning of Middle East of a locust plague of biblical proportions. Leprosy is making a comeback. Pope John Paul II, oceanographers, atmospheric scientists, solar scientists, glaciologists, Nature.com, FEMA, and NASA, they're all looking into climate change. Even our growing plants, the growing zones, you can go and look at the growing zone maps from 1960, compare them to the growing zone maps from right now, and you can see that growing zone 5 has crept down into growing zone 6. It's in 40 years the weather has moved south, north 150 miles. So we are going into, and this is another thing I was told years ago when I was asked what kind of preparations to make. I was told that it was going to get colder. So my wife and I prepared cold weather clothes, even if we had to go into some kind of a shelter and temporarily. And let's say we did get nuked, you'd need to go into some kind of an underground shelter. And you know, you're going to be living at 55 degrees for a few weeks. You're going to want to be warm. But that's kind of a, I mean, the Vatican and the FEMA and NASA especially, you know, looking at and making announcements about climate change should concern everybody. Did you also hear that in Russia there was a law recently passed that they're going to start prosecuting Russian news or weathercasters, that if they don't start getting it right, they're going to jail them?
I thought that was pretty funny. Actually, it was a proposed law that'll happen. But yeah, we actually talked about that on the program. That and I'm glad they don't do that with me, because I'm pretty good at the weather, but I screw up sometimes.
Well, television weatherman Scott Stevens was recently talking with George Nuri. Scott Stevens is weatherwars.info, and he believes our weather is being controlled by outside sources. And he said that he became convinced that something was playing in the sky after studying visible satellite imagery that showed large weather systems with anomalous punched-out sections and square clouds. And right after the show, I contacted Scott asked him to take a look at our site. And he said, "Oh, I've been a big fan of your site for a long time." And then right after that, we started getting a bunch of he linked to me, and we started getting a bunch of people from NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, coming on the site. And so, you know, something's up. The government knows it. And, of course, they're not going to share any of that with us. And if there's going to be any preparations made, it's ours. They're ours to make.
Does this have anything to do with the infamous HALO project?
It very well could. Scalar energy definitely can screw things up. You know, the Russians are further ahead of us. I mean, the Russians talked about a secret weapon back in the 60s that would dwarf anything that we have. And they've been working on Tesla technology long before we ever got in the saddle of that.
All right. So what's your sense? Now, you have been studying this for a long time, and it would be pure speculation, and I understand that. But what is your sense? Are we really heading for, as you said, great havoc this year?
Well, we're already there. The prophecy said that more or less indicated that when it was all said and done, that they would look back at 2005 and call it the year of the Great Havoc. And Scott Stevens pointed out that it's almost impossible to predict weather right now. He said that what the weather people have been used to being able to make predictions. He says, there's something afoot. He says all the rules have changed. He says it's just about impossible. Well, I noticed, you know, we had a gathering here with Red Elk this last weekend, and I noticed they had a 3 or 4 day weather projection for this local area here in southern Missouri, and they weren't even able to get that right.
Wow. Hey, we got to take a break. We're going to be right back. We are going to continue with Will Anderson, Blue Otter, and going to talk about prophecies, we're going to talk about the weather, and much more.
Tell me your great secrets deep inside your heart.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place, so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look.
Keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow.
Ah.
28 minutes left to go in this hour. We're very fortunate to have with us Will Anderson, Blue Water, and he's the owner of the website prophecykeepers.com, a compilation of multicultural prophecies. We've been talking about the weather, and we've been talking about 2005 being the year of the great havoc. Now, I think it's interesting, Will, that you mentioned coal. Now, we had, what was the guy's name, Aaron? I can't remember, week before last 2 weeks ago today, talking about the Ice Age. I can't even think of the guy's name. But he's from Florida and is a science writer and has been covering the global warming stuff for years and years and years. And he told us, and he came on the air and he says, you know, right now we have about 300 and, I think he said 388 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And he says, historically, over the history of the Earth, whenever the parts per million rises above the 200 age, it is a sure sign that the Earth is headed for an ice age,
uh-huh,
global warming.
What did you talk about, Robert Felix?
Was that who we talked about?
Yeah, iceagenow.com. He's written not by fire, but by ice.
We quoted him, but no,
right,
he wasn't the guy we interviewed. We interviewed him.
He's also written Ice Cycles. He's very prominent. He's on Coast to Coast and Laura Lee but now he's, you know, I don't really get too concerned about prophecies until they start lining up with two or three other correlations. And we've got the Hopi, the Book of Mormon, and science telling us that we're headed for Ice Age.
So you believe that the global warming is the last of our worries then?
Well, global warming was the reason why the oceans were warming was because the Earth was warming, and Earth warming precedes volcanic activity naturally, and this you know, some people are saying that this is because our, now you don't understand, our solar system is on a precession around the galaxy. We don't just our sun doesn't just stay in one spot. It proceeds around the galaxy, and we proceed with it. And there's either a 26,000 or a 52,000 year precession cycle. And in the last week of December of 2012, we will be entering in what the Mayan called the Black Road. It is it is an area of the galaxy that is very dense. Early last year, cosmologists had a big wake-up call. It was proven scientifically that about 17% of the matter in the universe is visible. Another 78% or something like that is invisible. They call it dark matter. So there's a lot out there that we don't see that apparently is having an impact on our solar system and our planet, and there are great changes ahead of us. And really, thanks to the Mayan and the Hopi, do we really understand what possibly might be going on.
Let's talk a little bit about those Hopi prophecies. Now, where do these prophecies come from?
Well, the Hopi prophecy, there is a prophecy on Prophecy Rock down near Oribe. My good friend Zula Brinkerhoff, who's now passed away, Zula used to be personal secretary of the governor of Utah, governor before Banger, I can't remember his name, but she ran the Pipe Spring Monument for quite a while, and back in the 60s, she became a spokesman for the traditional Hopi and was adopted by David Monangi, who was the keeper of the Hopi prophecy. And over a period, the Hopi were told anciently that when a gourd of ashes fell or was dropped that was hot enough to cause the oceans to boil, that they were to come forward with their prophecies. They were to go to the edge of the Eastern Ocean to a house of mica. And if you're familiar with minerals at all, you know that mica, the way it cleaves, it almost looks like window pane. It would be very irregular, and it's translucent and would look...
It's a type of natural
glass. Yeah, you can see through it, in other words. And the UN building is an all-glass building, one of the first all-glass buildings. And but they went to the UN, and they were turned away. They went several times. Finally, they were allowed to speak when no one was there. The only time that Jake Swamp and the Hopi Elders and Tadaho, the Supreme Sachem of the Six Nations, Leon Shenandoah, have really been allowed to speak is when nobody was really there. And, you know, I've done 53 interviews now with Native elders, teachers, and their confidants, and one of them was Nicholas Miguel Chango, who himself was a person who was predicted by the Salasara Aymara people in Ecuador to be the person. They were looking for him for hundreds of years because they knew a person would come that would be a bridge between their people and the Western world. And they raised him to be their chief, but they also sent him outside to public schools, always, you know, telling him to be careful not to become one of them. But when Ecuador recognized the Salazar Aymara on a government-to-government relationship, he was their first tribal chairman or president. But he was run out of the country. He was threatened that if he didn't leave, the special forces would come in and kill all his people. So he made his way north through Mexico, eventually made it to New York, you know, where he couldn't even find a job washing dishes. So he ended up going to school. I think he got his degree in Wisconsin somewhere, then became prominent at the UN. But after his experiences with the UN Permanent Indigenous Forum, he indicated on our interview that he felt that there wasn't much use of working with the UN because he felt everything was planned.
Really? Okay. So he... I have a hard time. I got to tell you this. I have a hard time with, you know, these conspiracy, you know what I'm talking about? Is that what you're talking about here, conspiracy theories?
Well,
planned at a higher level than that?
Well, I don't know if you want to call it that. That was just his observation. You know, the northern, let me give it to you in a parable. The northern Plains Indians believe in a creator only because they looked at nature around them and knew that there was so little chaos that there had to be some kind of a plan. So I think Miguel just looked around and you know, after kicking against the pricks and being involved with all the politics and everything, and even some of his own people, one woman in particular, starting to undermine everything he did, he just came to the conclusion that the UN has their own plans, and you know, his people and other people like his are in constant war with the oil companies down in South and Central America. You know, we're talking shooting wars. And, I'll give it to you. I'll give you an interesting prophecy. I recently replayed Myron Fagan's expose of the UN and the CFR. And, you know, the first Secretary General of the UN said that he didn't care. He said that there was so much economic chaos. He said he didn't really care. He said that he just wishes that a person would show up that would lead the world out of this economic chaos. And he said, be he devil or be he angel, we will follow him. That was the first Secretary General of the UN. That's a public statement that was made.
Is that Dag Hammarskjöld?
No, it was before him. It was another European. I can't remember. Somewhere on my website, I do have the quote. I was looking. It's under prophecykeepers.com/Fagan, F-A-G-A-N, .html. I'm looking for it right now. But, you know, that's kind of where they're at.
Okay. Now, let's talk about other Native American prophecies. I'm kind of fascinated by these. Are there other prophecies by other tribes other than the Hopis that indicate to you that something is afoot?
Oh, yeah. All of them.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church, or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
They, David Gahew, who is a Mi'kmaq elder, who was allowed to speak at the UN, said that all of the... He's a Mi'kmaq. They're a North... Yeah, from the... from like Maine.
I thought you said Big Mac. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's
the kind of church I want to go to.
But yeah, really, no. But the Mi'kmaq are, I believe, are an Algonquin people from the northeastern United States. And David Cahew some years ago made the observation that all the prophecies of all the nations, indigenous nations, and eastern and western prophecy, are all pointing toward the same thing. And you know, once I started to collect data, and when I wrote the Prophecy Keepers trilogy, which is a 1,000 page prophecy encyclopedia, for the purpose of raising funds to keep this my radio show alive, I realized that Muhammad in writing in the Quran. Joseph Smith, in writing in Mormon theology, the Book of Mormon itself, I believe the Tibetan Kalachara, a whole lot of religions, including a lot of Catholic mystics, are all saying that we're headed for 3 days of darkness. And I documented this. We also took a look at... I don't know if you're familiar with Tom Brown Jr., who has written probably a dozen books in the Tracker series. Tom Brown probably the best-known tracker of men in the country, and he was trained by the last Lipan Apache tracker. He and his friend years ago lived in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey, and this old man named Stalking Wolf was in his 80s, and since his 20s, he had... literally traveled from Alaska to Tierra del Fuego learning medicine ways, and the man was so much of a prophet, he could tell you if a mouse was going to cross the path in front of you in 10 or 20 seconds. But when Stalking Wolf's grandson and Tom Brown Jr.'s friend died in a horse accident, died riding a right horse, years later in Europe, it really got Tom's attention, so he began to pay close attention to what Grandfather Stalking Wolf had written about the coming red skies. Now, I don't know whether you realize this or not, but Mormon theology, I believe it's in the Doctrine and Covenants, talks about the fact that there will be no rain that will fall on the earth the year directly preceding the second coming of Christ. So...
Smith talked about that when he was talking about the sign of the rainbow, which was given to Noah. And he said that as long as you see a rainbow, you know it's not going to happen that year.
Right. And so it comes from a lot of different directions. Like I said, I don't want to say, hey, you ought to read my book, but maybe you ought to, because...
How do people get a hold of your book?
Well, you just go to prophecykeepers.com or just put a... You can call me at 877, toll-free 877-412-2012. You can remember December 2012. It'll help you remember the phone number. 877-412-2012. Or you can go to prophecykeepers.com or you can just do a search on any search engine for the terms Native Prophecy, either spelling a prophecy, either with a C or an S, and you'll get to my website. But the reason why I wrote the books is because the Bible says that in the last days, that if you are fearful, you'll be caught in a snare. And all the elders, for the last 50 years, all they have wanted to do is they wanted to offer people enough information so they can become informed enough so that they will, number one, know what's going on. Number two, that they'll be able to see the signposts that are leading up to what's going on. Three, that they can become prepared. And hopefully, above all, they all want people to learn to have a direct connection with their Creator. Now, I personally believe that had people really listened closer to Moses, And there's a big hint in the Old Testament, you know, when people come to Moses' tent and were complaining about two people that were walking through the camp of Israel, complaining that people prophesying. His attitude was more or less, "So what?" He says, "I would that everyone would be a prophet." Now, if they'd have gone up the mountain with him when they were invited, instead of asking for there to be a mediator between them or a priest between them, I think we'd had a lot less problems. I think when people begin to want to have a preacher or someone explain the Creator and His ways to them, that's when we start getting into problem. That allows what Joseph Smith and Brigham Young would have termed priestcraft to enter into the situation. And, you know, power corrupts, absolutely. And, I don't think there's anybody that's been in the religion business, because people are not perfect. But I personally believe, Red Elk believes, and all the other elders believe, that there's the only way to really be warned, and I was warned years and years ago, and everyone out there in the listening audience can learn to have their own connection with the Creator. All they have to do is ask. Everybody knows how to pray. What people are kind of afraid to do or don't know, because it's a lost technology of sorts, is that they need to learn how to meditate. In other words, they need to take the advice of my old friend Rocco de Villiers, who's somewhere up in, he's in a bishopric somewhere around in your area. He used to pack the stake centers and around Salt Lake and Provo, teaching people how to get an answer to prayer. Rocco taught me this. Rocco used to be a physical therapist at the Salt Lake Clinic and worked with a lot of the general authorities. And he just said, "Hey, you need to start getting answers to prayers. You need to expect them. You need to learn to how to listen." And he says it's just as simple as getting down on your knees someplace where you're not going to fall asleep, maybe on a chair or something. Asking to open a dialogue with Father, Red Elk just calls him Dad, and waiting. It might take several hours. With me, it only took about 5 minutes. The physical, the Book of Mormon talks about the thing which makes your bones to quake. Most people have probably woken up with a feeling like they were vibrating. Specifically, if you come out of, I know everyone's probably had a prophetic dream.
Hang on just a second.
Sure.
I want to get into this a little bit more with you, but we got to take a break. We're gonna wrap it up here in just a couple of minutes. So stick around. Blue Water, coming back.
Friends, this is Will Blue Water, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Oklahoma Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. to join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Will Bluewater Anderson is with us today on Radioactive for the last portion of the program today. He has the website, prophecykeepers.com. You can go there and you can look up any of his books there, or you can give him a call at 877-412-2012, and I will keep those numbers here in case you want them, and get the books to read more about this. You know, one of the things, and you brought this up just before the break, Will, that I have had a lot of people say to me. And by the way, you know, it sounds like, you know, you talk about some of the people that I've talked to on this program before, and, you know, you talked about Sterling Allen and, you know, whom I have had on the program several times. You know, so we may run around in a lot of the same circles, I guess. I don't know. Some of the same rarefied breathing, some of the same rarefied air. But in any case, one of the things that I have noticed, a lot of the people that we talk to on this particular subject to on the air, a lot of them have the same reaction that you just said right here, that, you know, as far as preparation goes for, you know, anything that could be coming in the future, be it good or bad, forming a relationship with our Father in Heaven is probably the most important preparation we can do.
Absolutely. Now, I'd like to point out that as far as the Old Testament, Isaiah, speaking of our time, said that we would be in a time where all the tables would be full of vomit, and that there would not be any clean place that the Savior could lay his head. So all religions, you have to go from the and I know this goes counter to, you know, all of my LDS friends out there who have been taught to listen to the prophet. You know, before the third or fourth president of the church, before President Snow came out with a manifesto in 1890, everyone said, do not listen to us, listen to the Spirit. And then when the manifesto came out, it said that it wasn't in the Lord's program for the prophet to lead the people astray. But I'm here to tell you that humans are humans, and you know, the New Testament talks about a great delusion that would happen in the last days. The safe bet is to go directly to the source and learn how to have a direct connection with your Creator, just like Moses indicated that we all should have. If you do that, you may still have time as wise virgins to collect the oil that you need to get ready for when the bridegroom does come.
Okay. Now, what about physical preparation? You said you've laid in a supply of warm clothing. What other things should we be laying in supply of?
Well, I'd recommend everybody gets at least one or two pair of boots with like 900 or 1,000 gram thinsulate. Footwear, anything that's manufactured may not be available soon, and you ought to have a couple pair of boots. I'd recommend non-military color BDU battle dress uniforms. They come in slate blue and gray and black and white, and because these they're extremely durable, and like the seats of the pants are like triple thickness and their weight, you can get them up to like 3 or 4X, and they're not real expensive. But stay away from the military colors. You do not want we are going to be invaded at some point. It's going to take divine intervention to drive that invasion back, and so I don't think, you know, in a time of a police state, and we're real close, because once we go to level one on Homeland Security, if you leave your house, you will be considered to be a terrorist. So we're right at the door of police state right now, and I think it'd be smart. Well, as far as food storage goes, you know, the Hopis stored for 7 years. You know, the in Brigham Young's time, they stored for 7 years. Then they went to 3.5 years. Then they went to 2. And finally, President Snow said, he said, hey, even if the saints do half right, it's about a year. I really recommend a year's supply of food storage. Now, you know, one of the things that I mentioned a person earlier, and I don't want to mention his name again, but his daughter married general authority's his son or daughter married a general authority's daughter or son, and he got his head together with the other father and said, "What we're going to do for the kids for a wedding present?" And he says, "Don't you think we ought to maybe give them some food storage?" And the general authority of the LDS Church laughed at him and said, "Oh, that's passé." Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, not passé, because, you know, even if you become unemployed for a while, you can sure use the food storage. It's cheap insurance.
Well, I can tell you that. from personal experience, the food storage has saved my bacon many a time in the past 25 years. And I've never been caught in a natural disaster.
Yeah, go reread Howard Ruff's book, How to Profit During the Coming Bad Years. And, you know, Howard, I think, is a real man of honor. You know, he could have done a lot of other things, but, you know, he said his piece, and he's had his ups and downs, and he's still saying the same thing.
Well, we got just a little less than a minute left to go on the program. We appreciate you coming on with us, Will. Any closing comments for our folks?
Well, I just like to say Osio Ogita Lee to my Cherokee cousins out there.
Not a lot of Cherokees around here.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot more than you might think. And, you know, there was 26 arguments that were made in the middle 1700s that Cherokee Indians were descendants of lost tribes, and more properly, we in 1750 we were told that we migrated across the Eastern Ocean to get here, and we have so many beliefs that are the same as Abrahamic peoples that there can be no other conclusion. You know, we are related. There are many Native peoples that are the Chickasaws. Everybody didn't come over the land bridge, and the scientists are now are figuring that out.
I appreciate it, but we are out of time. We got a sayonara. Thank you very much for coming on the program today. And once again, folks, the phone number, if you want to order some books or get some more information, is 877-412-2012, or go to prophecykeepers.com. Thank you very much, Will. Bluewater Anderson, thanks for the call.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Let the truth be known to all mankind.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
Kind of girl.